Welcome, beloved. My name is Pastor Richard Perales, pastor of the Siouxland Community Bible Church in South Sioux City, Nebraska. This morning, we're on the empty tomb. We're on John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. We've been going through the Gospel of John now for a couple of years, and we're nearing the finish line here. But in this passage, what I want to do is also just stop when I'm discussing this passage and then discuss why this empty tomb is so valuable to us. When I talk about the empty tomb, I'm really talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is Christ's resurrection so valuable to us? Because we'll see, without the resurrection, we have nothing. No hope and no message to proclaim. Beloved, before I get started, let me open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and privilege it is to come and to worship you. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Great I Am. And Lord, I ask that you would make manifest what your preacher ought to say. Let it be seasoned with grace, and may we buy back the time and redeem it for you, for the days in which we live and are evil. Lord, may we bring you glory. May this time of our hearts be for you, and may our love be expressed to you. And Lord, we are still longing as a church to meet together as a body, and it looks like that it may happen next week or so, or at the very minimum, very soon. But until then, Lord, remind us of your splendor and your beauty. You are a God that is worthy to be praised, worthy to be exalted. And you are always the most important person in this room. Lord, we want to stop and pray for our friends in the nursing home that we minister to. This week we've heard some pretty sad news. We've heard of people, Lord, that we have ministered to and even been a part of our church for a few years and passed away due to complications from COVID-19. Lord, I pray for their families. I pray, Lord, that you might allow us to reach out to the families and even minister those funerals. May we build bridges for the gospel. Lord, I pray for those men at the mission. I pray for the preparation of the soil. I pray, Lord, that as I will go back there next week, beginning again every Saturday, that the gospel may have free course, and that you would be magnified and glorified, and that we would see the greatest miracle of our day, which is you redeeming a soul and giving new life. Lord, you'd just be magnified and glorified now. To this end we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me read to you our text, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping and looked in, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Beloved, on Friday, the climax, the pinnacle, the greatest example of love was shown on the cross. Jesus was humiliated, and the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he died as a substitute for all kinds of sinners to redeem a people for himself. The glorious new covenant becomes a reality. Well, that's not true yet. The new covenant becomes that reality because of the resurrection. The death of Christ becomes that proof that redemption has been accomplished. Romans says he was delivered up because of our transgressions and raised up because of our justification. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the glorious hope. You see, the death does not have its full meaning without the resurrection. The story doesn't end at the death. The gospel is not the death of Jesus Christ alone. It also includes the glorious resurrection. Let's look at this event. It's the first day of the week. It was early Sunday morning before dawn. And we know the Jewish day of reckoning, that partial days are seen as a whole day. So you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Sunday are partial days, but they're seen as whole days, so thus 3 days. Well, who was there? Well, our text is the Gospel of John, and John just focuses on one main lady that was there, Mary Magdalene. Now, Luke tells us that Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women were present. Now, why are they going to the tomb in the first place? Well, Mark chapter 16, verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. They wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. In essence, what they wanted to do is to finish up what Nicodemus and Joseph had started. Nicodemus and Joseph really didn't have enough time to do justice to Jesus and properly prepare his body for burial. So the ladies were going in to finish the job. Luke chapter 16 verse 3 states that they were concerned on how they were going to roll away the stone, because there was a huge stone that was closing off the entrance of the tomb. But we know that that was solved miraculously. Well, John picks it up and he says, Mary Magdalene and the other ladies arrive at the tomb. The stone was rolled away, and she saw that the tomb was empty. Now, she's beside herself, but I don't think she was beside herself, i.e. like a nervous train wreck. I think she's beside herself as somebody that I love, I care for, and I want to honor. Something wrong happened to him. His body's gone. I believe she really loved Jesus. And remember, they have been through a lot. Jesus had just been crucified. And although at this moment they didn't fully understand the significance of his death and bodily resurrection, we know they do now. But at this point in time, so much is coming right at them. And what we do know is that these ladies are beside themselves because his body's gone. Well, Mary runs back and tells Peter and John, which is seen as the one whom Jesus loved. And she tells them they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they laid him. Perhaps she thought someone has stolen Jesus' body. Probably most likely she thinks maybe Jesus' enemies have done something. The Jewish leaders have done this last thing of shame. I don't know, but she is clearly beside herself. Well, John and Peter go and they run to the tomb and John outruns Peter but goes in and the text says both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there but did not go in. Stop. Sometimes I just want to, this is how my mind works sometimes, because sometimes I just look at these things and just say, wow. You know, one of the things that actually ran through my mind as I studied these things, people in this time and around this thing, they must have been in great shape. Mary's running. John's running. Peter's running. If it was me, the fat guy would be sucking air. And that's all the scriptures we're talking about. Well, back to our scheduled program, and sorry for that digression. Peter goes in. He saw the linen cloths lying there. The face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Beloved, I want you to see what he did not see. I want you to understand what he did not see. What the disciples did not see, Peter and John, what they did not see was a chaotic scene. They didn't see a tomb that was in disorder and disarray. Rather, the scene was one of order. The face cloth was folded and placed by itself. The appearance of the tomb, thus, does not look like it has been robbed. So what happened? Well, we know it was the bodily resurrection, the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Glory. Glory. John arrives at the tomb. You know, when John arrives, he actually beats Peter, but he doesn't go in. But when after Peter goes in, he goes in. The text says he saw and believed. He saw the tomb was empty, but believed what? Well, simply it could mean that Mary's testimony was true. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Or did he begin to believe just simply in the resurrection, but not fully understanding all its implications? Leon Morris says this: the Easter faith means more than a conviction that a resuscitation has taken place. It includes understanding that the divine purpose revealed in Scripture has now taken place. It seems that John had now come to believe that the resurrection had taken place, but that he did not appreciate all that it meant. End of quote. The late James Montgomery Boyce points out that this must be the logical conclusion, but he also points out this. How foolish, and I'm quoting Boyce, how foolish in the light of such evidence or non-Christian explanations of the events of Easter morning. Some have taught that the body of Jesus was stolen. But in that case, the presence of the grave clothes is inexplicable. They would have been removed along with the body. Others have taught that Jesus revived in the tomb and escaped having unwound the linen bands. In that case, the linens would have been displaced. Even if we can imagine that Jesus replaced the cloths where they had been and somehow removed the stone, there's still a problem with the spices, for these would have been scattered about the tomb. Of this, there is not the slightest suggestion in the gospel. None of these explanations will do. The disciples saw everything in order, but the body was gone. Jesus had indeed been raised and in a resurrection body. End of quote. And I say amen. Verse 9 says, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now the next question is, what scripture? We know 1 Corinthians 15:4 says he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. But again, which scriptures? Could it be referring to the prophecy of Jonah? Jonah 1:17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And again, in the gospel, this is referring to Jesus Christ. How about Psalm 16:10? For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Or could it be just referring to the resurrection in general, or being alluded to, as in Isaiah 53? Because Isaiah 53 talks about the death of our Redeemer, and it alludes to the resurrection. Because after his death, he is seen alive, making intercession. Let me read to you Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and he is put to grief when a soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You know what the resurrection does? Guarantees that we have a high priest now. One that makes intercession for us. His death would not be seen as a victory for the redemption of his people, saving people from their sin, if there was no resurrection. Could that scripture just been from John's own writing? Because after all, John will be used by God to pen scripture. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, was the background is the cleansing of the temple. In verse 18 it says, "So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had spoken this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." Amen. You know, beloved, what I want to do is just take a little detour, but a biblical detour, to remind us that this empty tomb, which we're discussing, is the resurrection. Without this, we have nothing. Let me tell you about my week. This is the week in the life of Pastor Perales. I was told that one of the ladies that we have ministered to and always come to our church service at the nursing home, her name was Donna, passed away through COVID-19 complications. You know, what's hard for me as a pastor is that I couldn't be there. And because of privacy laws, I had to find out secondhand after the fact. And I found out that this one was a very, very precious lady to our church. She was a resident of the nursing home, but she was special. She came to all of our services, and one of our church families would pick her up and bring her to church. She was blind, but yet she knew the hymns by heart. My oldest daughter, on many occasions, would have Bible study with her and read to her and even give her books or CDs, books on CD. Other families would minister to her and visit her. She died of COVID-19. Don't even know if we're able to do the funeral yet. Found out another one from the nursing home named, I call him Mr. Long, and just a very precious man, and he's not doing well because of COVID-19, and he's fighting for his life right now. another lady called me up and told me that she tested positive for COVID-19. Another lady called me up and told me how she's dealing with their friends and all these things that are going around. This week I found the confirming news of a very precious friend, a great man of God. He's a pastor in Minnesota, and his cancer came back. And the doctor said, possibly 6 months. Why is that empty tomb so important? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important to us? Because without it, there is no security, there is no surety that we have eternal life. Without it, there is no hope of our bodily resurrection. And all that my week would have been is just sad news with no hope. But it wasn't. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is security of our eternal life. They believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. That's what the disciples came to understand. Oh, beloved. We see. We have hope of our eternal life. And that reality is because of the resurrection. Because the tomb is empty. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This, my week, is no different than many of your weeks. Many of the things that are going on in your life, beloved. And sometimes we don't understand the glorious and preciousness of a doctrinal truth like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just wanted to pause and just emphasize for a moment this truth is an anchor that holds. You see, if there is no resurrection, we got nothing. We got nothing. We got nothing for hope for ourselves, and it would just be like what the world does there and every funeral that they have. It would just be a mental mind game that we have some kind of hope of eternal life, but in reality, it's nothing. And we definitely won't have a message to proclaim to this fallen world who really does have despair. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that had raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, and not even Christ had been raised, and if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. You see, beloved, if that tomb was still full, if that tomb was still full, we would have nothing. Our redemption wouldn't be proclaimed as victory, it would be shown as failure. The victory of the cross of Jesus Christ is the resurrection. It's the resurrection. And the resurrection shows that we have something different than all the other religions that are out there. All the other ones that have that false religion. Muhammad is still in the grave. The prophets of many denominations are still in the grave. You can find their DNA. You can find their bones. But Jesus is gone. Glory to God. We serve a risen Savior. And why is this important? Because I have a friend that is going through so much. I have families that are going through so much. And my hope is that there is a risen Savior that is alive. And he is the Good Shepherd. And he's making intercession and giving aid and help to us who are in need. Our God is alive. The tomb is empty. If that tomb be not empty, we have lost our hope for the kingdom to come. The glorious millennium, when Jesus Christ will not come to be put on the cross again, he will come as our King. And he will set up his kingdom. Because we are reminded that we live in this fallen world, and we see all this sin and all this iniquity that is going on, and we have hope, for this is not the way this is going to end. The resurrection gives us hope that the King is coming again. And we will join him. We will meet him in the air, and we will also escort him down as he sets up his kingdom. The resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Amen. Without the resurrection, there is really no hope of new life, change. There is no hope for this fallen world that sees iniquity and stuff that is going all around. This is my week. All those things that I've told you that I heard this week. And then this is my week. I get a phone call from my mother. Hey, did you hear what's happening here? Places that I went to were being burned. Stores were being pillaged. What caused this? The senseless killing of a black man. Killed under the knee of a police officer. This man's name was George Floyd. But you know what? Without the resurrection, we have nothing to offer. The killing of him was senseless and showed a lack of humanity and care for another human being. And then it triggered other sin. There's no justification for burning down a place or looting stores. Bank was burned. Stores were burned. Many, many, many buildings, unimaginable, set on fire. Stores looted. That's sin. You know, you see these race riots and you see all these things happening, but what we fail to understand is what really is at the root of this problem. What we fail to understand is that we're giving no real solutions. But the resurrection gives us a solution. Because if the problem is sin, then we have hope because we proclaim the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection to save a people from sin, to cleanse them from their iniquity, to give them new life. You see, what we failed to understand, the race riots in Minneapolis, yes, we can say it is a race problem, but that is short-sighted. It is a humanity problem. And these killings of people and ethnic cleansing and genocide. I just want to give you three examples. Just three examples. And there's many, many more. And I just want to not even talk about the corruption in other areas of life and that are going on. But I just want to talk about this. The ethnic cleansing and genocide and the hatred towards other people for some reason. You know, 1915 through 1916, notice this even goes beyond color of black, Armenian massacres by the Turks. In 1930 to 1940, the Nazi Holocaust, the systematic killing of over 6 million Jewish men, women, and children, and millions of others by Nazi Germany. Let's put this in perspective. The race riots that are happening in Minneapolis. Minneapolis currently has a population of over 400,000. Let's just say it's 400,000. You would have to times that by 15. 15 populations of Minneapolis was wiped off. Killed. Murdered. How about in the 1990s, Rwanda? You know, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, says, in many of these campaigns, women were targeted for particularly brutal treatment, including systematic rape and enslavement, in parts because they were viewed by the perpetrators as carriers, biologically and culturally, of the next generation of their nations. Why do I bring this up? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has a not a race problem. It is a humanity problem. It is because men are born slaves of sin, born in corruption. Yes, the truth is we're not all that depraved, but we are totally depraved. Maybe not to the same manifestation, but that depravity has affected our entire being, our mind, our emotion, our will, our body. Every recess of man has been affected by sin, and without the resurrection, there is no hope. The new covenant would be just empty words of hope. But the resurrection means that we will be changed, because that resurrection is not only a bodily, physical resurrection that we will have, but there is a spiritual resurrection. And that gives us hope in the day and age in which we live in, because we have a humanity problem. You see, the government leaders, the people that I hear, and the leaders, they say stuff like, I understand your rage, I understand all this, but what does that mean? That God, that gives no solution to the problem. No solution. We have it because of the resurrection. We have the solution for the humanity problem. We have the solution for our own heart problem. If it is a sin problem, and it is, let's call it for what it is. On all ends, on all sides. But how is man going to be changed? Not through the political process. Not through the new president or the current president or any president. The only way that man will manifestly change is when he becomes a new creature in Christ. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Beloved, this is our hope. For the week that I had the news of the ones that I love. The resurrection gives hope, the security of their salvation, hope of their resurrection. That their body will not be like that. One day it'll be resurrected and it'll be a glorified body. Never to taste the disease that has killed it. And for fallen humanity and all the messed up things, I've seen what happened into my home that I grew up in, the area in which I grew up in, under fire. But not only that, this week I've been praying for my loved ones. And you have them that have been destroyed by sin, and sometimes they don't even see their very own destruction. And they live in this sin and they take it as common. We have hope for them. The tomb is empty. The resurrection has occurred. Salvation is possible. Redemption is possible. New life, change. The gospel gives hope for change. We are born again. New creations. Set free from sin. Does the resurrection of Christ make a difference? It makes every difference, beloved. Every difference. We have a Savior that is alive. And active in our lives. He's not dead. Our redemption is sure. Our new life is sure. All made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, my week was like many of your weeks, and I would be lost and without hope if there is no resurrection. But instead of standing in despair, we have confidence and we can proclaim hope to this world that has a humanity problem. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and privilege it is to come and to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. May we see the real issue of our day. May we not lose sight of the power of the gospel. If the problem is sin, you have given us hope. We have the solution. It is you, O God, our risen Redeemer. It is you, O God, who died to save a people from sin. You have cleansed them. You have forgiven them. You have given them new life. You have changed them, born from above. The resurrection seals our hope as the anchor. Glory to you, the tomb is empty. Glory to you, the tomb is empty. Glory to you. Thank you, God. If I seem overwhelmed this week, because there are times in my life that I get overwhelmed with a very simple truth, but it's so profound. You died and you rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.